Good morning. Thanks for coming to the combined service of Calvary Bible Church in Boulder. We had a couple of great Christmas Eve services. Many of you were there. And I just thought we'd take a little time this morning to wrap up 2024 and look back, look forward, and do that together as a family. As you think about the year that's over now, almost, after yesterday, we're thankful that it's over. But you know, you're looking back, think about the great things, the best thing that happened in 2024 in your life. Think about what did God do in my life in 2024 as you look back. It's good to reflect. It's good to look forward. And that yet the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own, so you don't want to look too far forward. And we sort of live in the moment that God has us in and think about being in his hand right now where he has you. You actually are in God's hand. Do you know that? He holds you. If you know Christ, you've come to him and you've surrendered your life, you are right where God wants you to be. Now, everything in your life might not be perfect. I went to seminary at Western Seminary out in Portland, Oregon, and I got a letter from the new president who, obviously, I was there a long time ago, so he's a new president. But he wrote a letter, and he told the story of a friend of his who came to him and said, I've got to tell you this story. I had a dream last night. So it's a dream. But his friend said, I had a dream that I died, and I was in heaven waiting in line to meet Jesus. And there were a bunch of people in front of me, and it was clear that everybody in the line who was meeting Jesus was being asked a question. And I was really struggling to try to hear what the question was before I got there so that I would know what to say. And I just couldn't hear what the question was until it was my turn, and I got to Jesus, and Jesus asked this question. Did you enjoy your life? And the man told the president, he goes, I was incredulous. In my dream, I was incredulous. When was that ever the question? Did you enjoy your life? What about, were you a disciple? Did you suffer well for Jesus? You know, did you read your Bible? Did you go to church? What is the question, did you enjoy your life? And he just went on to say, it's a dream, so it's not doesn't have biblical mandate for it, but in a sense, if you understand that you're in the hands of God in the moment that you are, it's not a bad question. Did you enjoy your life? Did you know that God was with you in every moment, in every circumstance, and were you looking to be with him in that moment of time there? As 2024 comes to an end, did you enjoy 2024? Are you enjoying now? Are you enjoying now? Are you enjoying the moment that you're in? Well, the Bible actually says that we should be content right where we are, and we should press forward for where we are, for where we ought to be. And I want to think together this morning about how to move from where we are in the joy of being in God's hand to where he might take us in your own life, in your family's life, in our church's life, in your business life, in your financial life, in your physical health life, in 2025, and what is ahead for us. There's perhaps no other chapter in the Bible where there is an example for us of one who said, I know where I am and I know where I'm going, I know where I'm trying to move forward, than the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, let's open there to Philippians chapter 3. If you need a Bible, there's one there in front of you. Philippians is in the New Testament. It's one of Paul's letters. And in this letter, Paul is making a little bit of a defense of himself against those who were against him. And he actually, I'm going to drop into verse 12 and 13, where he's talking about his progress in his own spiritual life. And in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained this," we'll talk about this in a moment, "or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I don't consider that I have made it my own." Now, the "my own" that he's talking about is the righteousness of God that comes by faith. He said, I want to be righteous. We sang about that this morning. And I want to gain the righteousness of God through Christ by faith. And I know I don't have it all. I'm not already perfect. But I press on to make it my own. I want to grow spiritually. I want to grow in the righteousness of Christ. That's the goal of my life. And the reason I do it, do you see this? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And when you understand that you belong to Christ, he holds you in his hand, you've been saved by his grace through the work on the cross, he's in you, he's with you, he's guiding you in every moment of every day, then it makes perfect sense that we would press on into this thing that Paul is trying to move toward to make it his own, that is, having the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ in greater and greater measure. More of Jesus, more being like him, more understanding that I'm with him. So verse 13 and 14 together, second part of 13, "But this one thing I do," I circled that in my Bible, "this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This is the one thing that I do. There are many things that distract us from our own spiritual life and growth and development, but Paul said, this is the one thing I do. I press on. I press on and forget what lies behind. So at the end of 2024, what is it that you would forget about 2024? What is it you'd like to say, okay, I'm glad that's over? Anybody want to share? It's like, I can think of a couple things. I'm glad those are past. And I'm glad that the things that were a part of that in my life are no more. And I forget the things that are behind and I press on to what lies ahead. What lies ahead? Walking with Christ. Eventually going to be with Christ. And I press on for the goal of the upward prize of God. So let's describe what that is. Well, it has to be that it's knowing that the final destination of my life is I am going to be with Jesus for all of eternity. It has not appeared what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him and we shall be with him for all of eternity. We're going to be with Jesus for all of eternity. And therefore, we ought to pursue in our life being like him to the greatest measure of our ability. I think that's probably what's involved in the goal of the prize of the upward call of God, that this world is in our home and we really are on our way to be with Jesus forever. Now, what kind of progress did you make in 2024 in your spiritual life? If you could look back and say, how did I do? Did I make some progress in my spiritual life in 2024? How many of you would say I did? Okay, some of you haven't thought about this yet. This is a good time to think about it. Did I grow spiritually in 2024? This one thing I do. And if you haven't seen the movie City Slickers, you should see that, where they're riding on a horse and he says, you just got to figure out the one thing. Well, what's the one thing? You got to figure it out. Well, for the Christian, this is it. You got to figure out what the one thing is. It's moving on to be like Jesus, to be with Jesus, to know that Jesus is with you in every moment of the day, and you keep pressing on. But for some of us, there is a mistake, a failure, a missed opportunity, missed things in 2024, that we're kind of glad to leave those behind and think about the conforming process of moving forward in your life with Jesus. Now, if you look at verse 16, not on the screen, verse 16 says, "Only let us hold true to what we have attained." So Paul's talking about pressing on, moving forward, only hold on to what you've attained. I look at that as Paul saying, be careful that you don't slip back. Some of us have slipped back in our spiritual life and development in 2024. We used to call it backsliding, where you kind of, and you just, backsliding doesn't start where all of a sudden you fall off the rails. You make small compromises. About 30 years ago, I did an illustration here at Calvary about how you make a small compromise today and it changes the whole trajectory of your life. And you suddenly realize sometime later in your life, you're way off the track that you set for yourself. Do any of you remember that illustration? Mm-hmm. Most of you weren't here 30 years ago. So should I illustrate it again? It's really good. It's like you make a decision to follow Jesus. And you do. You walk with him. And then sometime in, maybe at the end of high school, you sort of make a step and say, well, I'm just going to go over here. And then you go off to college and you merge over here and you kind of, you leave away. And Paul says, be careful that you don't lose what you've attained already. And you make a compromise and then you do something else. And pretty soon, by the time, you're, what? 45 years old. You're over here. It's like, how did I get over here? I never meant to be here. And how do you get back? It's really awkward. You have to come across and like, you suddenly have to make a really significant course correction. Make room for me. I'm course correcting. And this is really the course that I intended. Hi, honey. How are you? I wanted to do, and it's like you've got to make some really significant trajectory changes because a small compromise here led you to be moving in a direction that you weren't really intending to go. Be careful that you don't lose what you've attained, Paul said. Now, the grace of God, if you find yourself way off track today, the grace of God will be gracious enough to help you get back. But you have to make a decision. And you have to say, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I'm going to press on to what lies before. Well, what ultimately lies before you? You're on your way to heaven. You're going to be with Jesus. You need to think that the most important part of your life is really, the most important part of your life is, how am I doing with Christ? Do I know I'm held in his hand? And am I doing all I can to stay in his will where he is? If you're off track today, what a great time at the end of 2024 to say, I'm going to set 2025 to say, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I'm going to press on toward the mark of the upward call of God in my life to be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. What are the distractions in your life that keep you from the one thing? That would be a good journal question. As you begin 2025, what distracts us? Paul has a couple in this text. He actually says that one of the distractions that keeps us from pursuing the one best thing of moving on to be like Jesus and walking closely with him is overestimating our own sense of accomplishment and achievement and maybe accumulations. And he actually says in verse 7, but whatever gain I had before I came to Jesus, I counted those loss for the sake of Christ. I had a very accomplished life, but it really wasn't helping me with the one thing of following Jesus in my life. Some of you know this. Some of you have become exceedingly successful in your life. And it turns out that your success has not actually brought you the kind of sense of joy and enjoyment with God in your life, because there's still something more. Paul said, I considered all of the gain that I had as loss. I count everything loss because of the surpassing value, worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so therefore, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all these things, and I count them but rubbish. There was another good New King James word for that. Dung. I count it really as refuse, in order that I may gain Christ, this one thing I do. And maybe you look back on your accomplishments and you say, my accomplishments have actually ended up keeping me from loving God the most. Because you realize you cannot love God and money in the same way. You cannot love sense of security in yourself and your own accomplishments in the same way of loving. So Paul just said, that is a distraction that can keep us away from following Christ by overestimating our own sense of accomplishment. He lists all his accomplishments in verses 4 through 7, and he had a lot of them, but he said they really didn't help me in my relationship with Jesus. I just encourage you, as you begin 2025, what is the greatest accomplishment I could have in my life? Would it not be this one thing I do, pursue Christ with all my heart? The second distraction that Paul mentions in this text is kind of veiled, but he mentions it in verse 10, and I would say that it's a distraction of misunderstanding God's purpose for suffering. He actually said that all of this he's struggling for, that I may know Christ, know him and the power of his resurrection, and that I may share in his sufferings. When's the last time you said that to God? I'd like to share in your sufferings and become like him in his death. And what Paul is saying here is that in this world, we just acknowledge we're going to have tribulation, we're going to have suffering, we're going to have these hard experiences, but those hard experiences have a purpose in God's mind for us that we may often underestimate and totally misunderstand, that if we have been in a suffering experience, God may be there. Are you still in the hand of God when you're in a suffering experience? Anyone want to answer that? How many of you have felt God's presence more greatly because you've been in a hard time? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You're with me. You're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Some of you have had great suffering losses in 2024. You've suffered. And suffering can make you bitter or better. It can make you softer or harder. And Paul said, don't misunderestimate the purpose of God sometimes in suffering. I'll just flip over and read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, because the testing of the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It actually turns out that going through suffering is one of the things that helps you focus on this one thing I do, and everything else seems meaningless or less meaningful. Would you agree with that? Okay, so what Paul is saying is that there really is a way to sort of focus in on the one thing. And I want to just encourage you, if 2024 was a hard year, don't quit. 2024, you're in the hands of God. He's working in your life. Now, Jesus told this same principle in a fascinating episode in the book of Luke chapter 10. I'm going to turn there. You can join me if you want to. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Jesus has an exchange with two women to clarify what is the one thing. And some of you will, this will be a familiar text for you, but that's good because it really reinforces what we're talking about here. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, we read that now as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha was, everybody, distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." This is a great episode in the Bible of sibling rivalry. And it is sort of a snapshot of two personality types that maybe are in your household too. There's a Martha and a Mary, and Martha is distracted with much serving. And she's in the kitchen, and she's doing a good work. She's preparing food because, I mean, there she is. Jesus and 12 disciples came into the house. So what's a woman to do? Go to the kitchen, start working, get, you know, prepare things. It was just culturally appropriate that a meal would be prepared for guests who came. And yet, there's a really interesting exchange that happens here. Martha is totally concerned about her work in the kitchen. And it's the most important thing. And in fact, she measures Mary's importance and status by the fact that she's not participating with Martha in the preparation of the meal. And so she not only is so committed to preparing the meal, but she judges others for not doing what she's doing. And she becomes bitter against her, and she goes to Jesus, "Tell her to help me." And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Oh, but look at this. "One thing is necessary. This one thing I do. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And he just puts it on the line that Mary is with me, listening to me. This one thing I do. Now, if you're a Martha, and there's a lot of Marthas and male equivalents to Martha in the room, that the doing, doing, doing is the most important thing. And I just want you to know that Martha was more concerned about her work for God than God's work in her. It's a good work, but Jesus was there. And I think he probably could have said, "I'm pretty good at preparing meals for people, and I could have handled this. You know, I'm here, and you could have been with me, but you're busy doing that." And Mary is chosen the better thing, won't be taken away from her. She's with me, listening to me, following me. Now, it's an interesting thing. I know everything inside of us Americans who are achievers are saying, "Yeah, but you got to praise her for a little bit of her initiative." And I'd say, yeah, you do. But what Jesus said is only one thing is necessary. You're distracted by many things. So let's just take the opportunity and ask ourselves this introspective question. What distracts you from Jesus? What are you doing right now in the course of your day, week, life that distracts you from the one thing? And might that be something that you would say as we begin a new year together, that right now at this point, I'm going to make a change? Is there one thing that you could stop doing in your life that would help you know Jesus more in 2025? Can you think of that? That's a good journal question as you start the year. One thing that you stop doing that would help you in your walk with Jesus. Or maybe this. Could you do less than what you did in 2024 because busyness crowded out something about your spiritual life and development? Don't fall back from what you've attained. Maybe this is just a time to do a little bit of introspection there as we start a new year together. What is distracting you from this call in your life? You really only have one life to live. It's the one that you're in now. Are you enjoying it? Are you enjoying your life with Jesus? In 1967, a 17-year-old girl dove into the Chesapeake Bay after misjudging the depth of the water in the bay. Some of you will know this story. When she dove into the water, she hit the bottom and fractured the fourth and fifth cervical vertebrae in her neck and back, and she became a quadriplegic at the age of 17. Her name is Joni Erickson Tada. During 2 years of rehab, she experienced all kinds of anger and depression, suicidal thoughts, and all kinds of religious doubts about whether God was involved in this traumatic experience of her life. If you've never heard the story of Joni Erickson Tada, you should follow her. She's written over 40 books. She learned how to paint holding a paintbrush in her mouth. She's written songs, recorded albums, been a speaker, an advocate for those with disabilities for nearly 60 years. She's 75 today. This is a beautiful quote of her life, reflecting on her life. "This is the only time when I get to fight for God. This is the only part of my eternal story when I'm actually in the battle. Once I die, I'll be in celebration mode in a glorified body in a whole different set of circumstances. But this is my limited window of opportunity, and I'm going to fight the good fight for all I'm worth." There perhaps is not another more contemporary picture of someone who triumphed over suffering with a sense of joy and the presence of God, enjoying God ultimately in her circumstances, that "I am in God's hand in this experience, so this one thing I do right where I am." Oh man, I love a model like that that helps us put a few things in perspective in our own life so that we could then say with Paul, as we already saw, "But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." May God help us to do that in the year to come. Let's pray together. God, I pray that you'll just give us a sense of where we are today. Remind us that we're in your hand in this moment. And I want to just give a moment of silence here in praying together. Would you help us, God, just to be able to think of that something to forget in 2024, to leave it behind? And then maybe just tell God, "Lord, I want to leave that behind." Whether it's a sense of my own accomplishment or a hard experience or a failure or a missed opportunity, I want to leave that behind. And today, Lord, I want to press on so that this year ahead is a year of greater proximity to Jesus, and I might enjoy his presence in my life and really be aware that I'm in his hand in every circumstance, that he's in my heart. We ask, God, that you'll just give us a focus in our mind to be with you and to be like you more and more in the year to come. May glory to God be the experience of our life in suffering and in triumph. May there be healing. May there be reconciliation. May there be renewal, revival, and rebirth in the lives of perhaps some of us who have been far from God in the last year. Draw us back, God, that we would say, this one thing I do. And may it be for your glory and our joy. May it be that in 2025 we enjoy Jesus walking in step with you. And to you be the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.